Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, October 7th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I've got Chris, Lauren, Steve, and Bob. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Today, we'll be talking about the Magic Kingdom's 40th anniversary celebration, and we'll also talk a little bit about the 5K that was that same morning on October 1st. So let's go ahead and get started. Magic Kingdom 40th birthday. Yay!
She doesn't look a day over 30.
Well, at least there was no pink birthday cake.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there were red cupcakes and they were hideous looking.
Oh, they looked good.
Yeah, you think so? I thought the red was, ugh.
I don't know. The one that Lisa sent me a picture of looked very, very tasty. I don't know if it was just me wanting to be there.
No, red frosting never works out right.
Red frosting, there was blue, and there was also, I just found out, yellow, and they had sprinkles on the side and a little white chocolate 40th anniversary insignia. They were kind of hideous looking.
And there was like a 30 or 45 minute wait.
Yeah, it was hard to get those cupcakes.
So. Well, and then they ran out so quickly.
Yeah.
But I didn't think they were hideous. I thought they looked like fun cupcakes.
I don't like my cupcakes fun.
Okay.
Why not?
Let me write that down.
No, I don't like cupcakes that are dyed weird colors, because then I'm eating them and I'm like, ugh, it's all dye. It's this fake chemical stuff.
Yeah, but and then your tongue turns red. It's fine. Yeah.
I don't mind pink frosting, but that's, you know. Anyway, that's beside the point. The point is the 40th anniversary was incredible.
Is that the bottom line?
No. It is the bottom line.
That is going to be disputed.
It was incredibly ordinary.
No, it was not. What about that? Okay.
So, okay, let's start from the beginning.
Yes, that's a very good place to start.
There was tons of people there. I've got photos and I'll post them up. But we got there at 8:45 in the morning, and they opened the park at 9, and it was packed all the way back to the security checkpoints for your bags.
Oh, past that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was oozing out into where the ferries let out and such.
Yeah, it was like you got off the ferry and you were just kind of standing there.
Well, not quite, but almost.
And then, I don't know, right about 9 o'clock, I guess right at 9 o'clock, they opened the, they did a little show by the train station and the characters were there and
up on the platform. That was nice.
Yep. And they had a little 40th anniversary banner there, and then they opened the turnstiles. They did give you a 40th anniversary button, so we got a couple of those.
If you got there in time.
Yeah. That was like right when they opened, and so we got a couple of those. And then everybody was taking the park maps.
Yeah, but they were still handing
maps.
Those out when we left.
Yeah, we got a couple when we left as well. So they.
But we left at like 10.
Yeah.
Story to follow.
Yeah, but... what else? We got the cool thing was the park map, which was a traditional park map, but they made it like double sized, and it has the old school A through E ticket book as the cover, where you used to pull off the tickets to ride the different rides. And then they have the Magic Kingdom map that you would normally have, but then if you open it up on the other side is a giant fold out 1971 original map of what the park looked like with the original rides. So that's kind of cool. So they got the Skyway and all the other rides that used to be there.
No Toontown.
The way it should be.
Mm. Wrong.
But that was about it. That was the excitement, I think.
They had this nice little character parade.
Oh, yeah, at 10 o'clock. Yeah, that was part of it.
That was great. That was incredible. There were all these characters.
No, that was really ordinary.
No, it wasn't. They were
yes,
all these. There is no pleasing you. There is just
okay,
no.
Okay, I'll let you have your say, and then I'm going to tell it like
it
is.
I thought it was amazing. Like, there were a bunch of
putting
characters.
The blinders are on.
she's got her
40th anniversary blinders on.
God, Bob.
All right, I must mediate. Bob, let her have her say.
Okay.
I thought it was amazing.
Bob, okay. I'm going to mute you.
Okay. Ooh, you have a mute button?
I don't know, but I'll find one.
You know what? I really liked it. And you know, I just thought it was impressive. You know, you had all these characters come out all of the sudden. It was a very short parade, but there were like every character you could think of practically all of the sudden just coming out. And it was exciting, and we had a great view of it. And, you know, and of course, yeah, it was really crowded and it was hot and, you know, it was a little stressful, but it was great to see all the characters. And, you know, I had no problem with it. It is what it is. It wasn't a huge celebration, but it was still fun. And it was neat to sort of stand there and think, you know, hey, 40 years ago today, there were people just, you know, in the Magic Kingdom coming in for the first time. That was great.
Yeah. 40 years ago today, there were people like listening to like a 128-piece symphony on the grand opening day. And we were watching a handful of characters walk down the street.
Oh, stop. So well, jaded.
I mean, and then, you know, they also had, well, prior to that, they had the Walt Disney marching band, come out and do a couple of tunes. And then you had the Disney ambassadors, who are basically cast members who I think are voted on by all the other cast members, you know, to be the ambassadors. And so they came out and talked for a bit. And then Meg Crofton, president of Walt Disney World Parks and Resorts, came out and gave a speech. And then she introduced Phil Holmes, vice president of Walt Disney Parks and Resorts, who actually was a cast member at the Haunted Mansion 40 years ago. So he talked a little bit about his memories. And then they concluded that ceremony with the Dapper Dan singing When You Wish Upon a Star. And that was the extent of the ceremony.
And that was what, maybe 20, 30 minutes at the most?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Well, and we did sort of start walking over towards Adventureland before it was over.
It was hard to hear because the audio wasn't great.
Whatever they were trying to broadcast from the castle echoed, because normally that's not the way it works. You know, when they have the shows, it just stays within the castle area, but they tried to project it all the way down Main Street, and it just echoed a lot, and it was hard to understand anything.
See, I didn't have that, but I was a lot closer than I think, you know, you guys were, because I got there about 15 minutes beforehand.
You weren't actually, you couldn't actually see that character parade then from where you were.
I saw them coming up the side street, yeah. The side, yeah.
I liked it. Don't ruin my memory.
I'm
totally
not
ruining the magic for me, Bob.
I am not.
You know, no one, you know, they hadn't planned anything for the 40th. So I assumed that there wasn't going to be much going on. So, you know, that's pretty much what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it seemed like everybody and their brother was there, because everybody was there in their retro Disney shirts. And there was a guy walking his invisible dog through the park, which I hadn't seen since like 1971, probably. I mean, all the diehard Disney fans. They were all out.
You don't even remember 1971. You were like, what, 3?
I got to pull up my invisible dog. Yeah, but all the diehards were there, and it was packed.
A lot of the big bloggers and everything were all there.
Was it really, really crowded? Like,
I would say there were probably 80,000 people in the park by 10 o'clock.
Wow.
It was
crowded, but you know what? We walked right on Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
Well, everyone was there.
That's because,
you know, watching the events.
Yeah, that's because we left before the stage show was over. We jumped on that.
We walked out pretty easily and went over to Epcot and had some food and wine, and it was awesome.
Well, before we get into that, you know, I don't know. I think it was incredibly ordinary.
Yeah, it was.
You know, and I don't know if I buy into the reasoning that, you know, that some people have expressed, you know, online, you know, that Disney didn't plan anything for the 40th because they had overdone it in years past with celebrations that were insignificant to the point where people stopped coming, and they really want to do something special for the 50th, so the 40th didn't really mean much to them. That was probably a big mistake on, you know, in judgment for them.
You know what, Bob? I think this speaks to a bigger issue, which is that sometimes you just have to open yourself up to an experience and not have such high expectations.
No, I can deal just fine with a cheesy, you know, presentation, you know, on the castle with a speech that was, you know, meaningless because it's ridiculous what Meg Crofton, you know, was talking about. She doesn't believe the words coming out of her mouth. You know, but it makes for a good show.
It's such a good thing that we don't do the podcast like in the same building, because I would be up on knocking on your door right now.
And you know, the whole thing smacked of, oh my gosh, people are taking this seriously. We better do something. And it came off as if it was thrown together in 3 weeks. And they clearly, you know, failed to estimate the crowd levels. You know, the limited edition merchandise that was there, you know, for
a
that
valid
day
point.
Only, sold out in half an hour to an hour.
Yep.
People buying massive quantities to sell, which, you know, note to Disney, if people are buying, you know, 30 of one item, you know, it's obvious that they're going to sell it. So why don't you limit what, you know, how much people can buy? And, you know, how do you have pins that are limited edition of 1,500, you know, that say Magic Kingdom 40th anniversary, I was there, and you have 80,000 people in the park? How do you have a 45-minute wait for a cupcake? You grossly underestimated your crowd level.
The yeah. wait for the cupcake was disappointing. I mean, the cupcakes didn't look that great. I really wanted one anyway. And it would have been nice to have gotten, you know, some
yeah,
of the 40th anniversary.
Been, yes,
And
yeah.
the problem with having it in such limited edition or such, you know, so few of them is that you do sort of set this up where these people come in and they buy it and they put it on eBay and charge an outrageous amount. And the average fan will never get their hands on any of that.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
And you know, and you've got... you know, there's no crowd control.
Yeah, that was bad,
you know,
too.
If you were way in the back on Main Street, you know, there's no televisions or anything set up to see even
right.
the stage. You've got the problem with the speakers where you couldn't hear.
Well, my bigger issue with the crowd control happened that at night. So we'll have to
well,
talk
we'll,
about
we'll
then.
We'll go into that.
But,
you know,
yeah.
And then again, you know, with the merchandise, you know, right in the map itself, you're touting... You know, oh, artist signings for this and artist signings for that. You know, all this limited edition merchandise, buy it so that you can have, you know, meet the artist and have it signed. And you can't even get it, you know. And then, you know, and yeah, getting back with...
All right, let me jump in with a little bit. As far as, you know, Bob saying that it was a dud and Chris saying that, you know, it was nice, you had to appreciate it for what it was, I'm going to kind of agree with both of you. I think Disney made a mistake by not making this a bigger deal. Maybe people aren't going to be so apt to go to the 50th, seeing how average this celebration was. It wasn't over the top. And I think that's what people come to expect from Disney.
Well, for the 40th, yeah.
It should be. It just should be. And I think they did... a poor job, like you said, on having the merchandise available. I don't know if they've got their own little stock and they're going to put it on eBay themselves. That could be the answer, but they sure made it limited to the people that wanted it. Being told at 9:30 where to find the merchandise and... you know, and being told that everything in the Emporium was sold out, it would have been nice to have one of those 40th anniversary pins, the pin trading pins.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to have a lot of, you know, different things for true purposes, not to make a quick buck. And so I personally was disappointed. I went down to Uptown Jewelers. I was just so discouraged. And they had... all the registers open, and the lines were a good 20 people deep with armloads of stuff. And like Bob said, they're clearly going to resell it.
Mm. But what does Disney care? Because they're getting the
because
money
they're selling
way.
It, right? Yeah. People didn't even look at prices; they just grabbed because it was going to be worth something.
Yeah,
and that it is what it is, I suppose. But then I do think, Bob, that you have kind of sneezed on the magic that they did provide. I thought the parade was fine.
Right.
It's fun to see them. Fine. I think the parade was fine. I think the Dapper Dans were great. I think the band was great. But, I mean, hey, note to Disney, you've got 10 years for the 50th, and judging by how badly you miscalculated this one and the 80,000 people that were in the park at 10 o'clock, you better do something.
And I think,
Bob, I would say that the
pandemonium on your hands.
I would say that the vast majority of people who were in the park that day at the very least didn't know they were planning their vacation around the 40th and didn't right. care.
Oh, no,
the only people
no.
who care.
I think no, the, no, the vast.
No, no, no,
they don't.
Way.
The only people who really, really, truly care are the hardcore nerds like us. And
no.
I'm not
oh,
saying there weren't a lot. No, I'm dead serious because I have people who I know were there at that time who were like, what? It's the 40th of what? You have to remember that the vast majority of fans are not like us. Oh. They don't know how old. They don't even call it Disney. They yeah. don't even call it the Magic yeah. Kingdom. I just think that Bob is overestimating what the crowd expected. Yes, there's a small hardcore group of nerds, but the truth is that we don't make up the majority of the people who were in that park that day. And if you think that's the case, you're overestimating it.
I don't think I am. When at 8:30 in the morning, before the park is even open, you've got a crowd that went all the way down to the dock and yeah. boatloads of people pouring.
I'm not
out
saying.
Of- pouring out of, you know, no, there's no way that the majority
I'm not saying
there
wasn't
were not
a good
aware.
Chunk of nerds, but I think many, even if they were aware, I think a good majority of those people, their expectations were much lower than yours. And you know, I just think the world of you, but I think that you like to find stuff and you like to pick it apart and complain.
No, I'm not.
You do. You're one of those fans who like, you know, likes to, anything that Disney does wrong, you just want to take them out to
the
woodshed.
But the difference is, anything they do right, I'll be the first to tell them you're doing it right.
Okay, Bob, what would you do differently?
Yeah.
I think, for starters, I
would have a soft opening. I wouldn't make everyone wait outside the gates until 9 a.m.
Yeah, I think they needed to let the crowd in.
I understand they probably did that so they could have their little presentation up on the platform. But, you know, when you've got that many people and they're very anxious to get in, not eager, anxious, because when you're out there, it's so crowded, it does create an anxiety within. So I think they could have opened. I'm sorry, I'm answering the question.
No. I mean, I think that's the first part. I think they could have done sort of crowd control.
Crowd control, and I think extra magic hours wouldn't have been a bad idea.
I think that's fair. I think that you know, for the presentation, you need to have some kind of television systems or something set up. You know, big screens set up, because you are going to have people in the back who want to see the show and can't.
Yeah, and we were really close. I mean, we got there 10 minutes before park opened.
We were right on the corner of the hub,
and we were at the corner of the hub, and
you couldn't see. You know, merchandise. I think you need to have a lot more quantity.
Agreed.
And you need to limit people, whether that's, you know, one shirt per person.
If they have to go through the hassle of having their wife buy something and their son buy something, make them
so
do it.
I think you have to do that. And then, you know, I think we're going to talk about the nighttime, you know, the fireworks. Basically, for nighttime, you know, they touted a special presentation of Wishes. And all it really was is Wishes with the added benefit of mostly during the end of the show, they shot extra fireworks off on the perimeters, which, you know, if you've ever been for the 4th of July or New Year's or, you know, a special presentation like that, you know what you know, that looks like. But it was the exact same show.
Well, and as someone who's never been there for the 4th of July.
Yeah, and you've never seen it, so it was pretty.
It was very impressive. Yeah. And I generally don't enjoy the fireworks. Yeah. I rarely can make myself sit through it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was beautiful.
And you know, and that would have been fine by itself. I think they needed to add something additional to it. If you're not going to do, you know, a separate fireworks presentation, which is understandably a lot of work, you know, do an extra, you know, add-on. I mean, this is not something they can't do. I mean, for Epcot's 4th of July, they do, you know, an extra 10 or 15 minutes, you know, celebrating America after Illuminations. So you could have done, you know, 10 minutes, you know, recognizing past rides or, you know, music and you know, from past attractions or something. Or, I don't know, come up with something. But they could have planned that. And again, crowd control after the fireworks is, well, before the fireworks is terrible, and after the fireworks was non-existent.
Right. Well, and that's a problem, because when you have... Right. Yeah. When you have the bridge to Adventureland and the bridge to Liberty Square cut off and nobody knows that, and all of a sudden you get this huge throng of people trying to go there and nobody could move, that was pretty ridiculous.
Right. And the reason it was cut off, and they should have told people, the reason it was cut off, and Natalie correctly figured it out, you know, because they shot off fireworks in the perimeter, they have to make sure that, you know, there's no fire risk before they can let people go through. So it's clearly
done.
Well,
what would you have done? How would you have told people it's dark, it's loud? How would you have let people know that that area was cut off?
Well, you probably need to have cast members out with their little glowing wands, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
People,
but
you know, directing them to another portion of the park, or just telling people, you know, just wait here, calm down, because you had a situation where people were pushing and shoving and running into one another, and
it was potentially very dangerous. I'll give you that.
Yes, it was very, very dangerous, and people were honestly saying to one another, "I don't care, just run into them." I mean, you could actually hear people saying that.
No, people were being incredibly rude. It was very crowded. I didn't personally let it ruin my night. It might have if I'd had a stroller. And I remember thinking that it was a good thing that Lisa and Steve weren't there with the kids, because it wasn't safe, really, for two little girls, you know. But I think, you know, that lasted, what, 20 minutes, half hour? It's pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah. It took a long time to get that bottleneck cleared up. So yeah, that was bad. I mean, and they still haven't figured out a good way to do crowd control. And I don't
Disney
know.
Disney never really
is.
Has. I don't know that Disney ever really has figured out how to deal with getting, you know, people out of these really crowded parks, regardless of when it is. And I don't really know what the answer to that
is.
No,
neither do than, I. You know,
other
I,
than
I,
a line of, you know, police officers with batons and
which is not
lasers.
Really, you know, yeah.
It's not very practical.
But I mean, imagine, you know, the situation if, you know, people start pushing and shoving and people are going to get trampled.
Right.
You know, and then what? I mean, that would, I mean, you want to talk about ruining a day.
Well, I mean, you could easily have had a group of cast members joining arms and being a human barricade, I guess,
well,
Bob.
Well, singing just, Kumbaya.
No, I mean, some cast members with their glowing wands that they use, just kind of directing, you know, people, this area is temporarily closed off, you know, head back in the other direction, or telling people. Yeah.
The problem is that when the fireworks are over, everyone wanted to leave, which actually ultimately was a good thing, because the park was pretty empty after that, and we rode tons of rides. But, yeah, I mean, it was a mess. There was one – I actually got a picture of it. I was walking in front of Crystal Palace trying to get into Adventureland, and things had at that point – one of the bridges had opened up, I think the one to Liberty Square, and there was a family, and they were – they were standing around a tree inside, you know, like a little where all the flowers were. And of course, there's a gate, there's a fence around it, but they had gone over the fence because they couldn't. There was nowhere to stand. They didn't know where to go, so they were just like, "Forget it, we're going to stand here." There were like five or six of them. It was kind of funny. I'm sure the gardening or the grounds people appreciated it the next morning, but. You know, but that just tells you how bad it was. I mean, it was pretty awful. And again, if I had had kids in there, I would have been extremely nervous.
Yeah.
Because especially, it's one thing if they're in a stroller, you can kind of protect them. But like if you have kids walking, I'm sure it was a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And you know, the fact that it got so crowded for the fireworks, I think goes back to my point that people were expecting something special. I mean,
well,
you know, when you say in the guide map, you know, a special presentation.
It was special, though. It was beautiful. And I mean, not everybody. I have been to Disney umpteen times. I can't even count how many times. I've actually never seen that, Bob. I've never seen the outer perimeter. So I just thought it was extraordinary. And I really, it made my night. And that whole night for me was incredibly
amazing. And I know it wasn't for you, but I'm sorry, Bob.
Oh, I you know, I think I would grade them with a C minus to a D.
I'd give them an A plus.
No, I'd give them, and for crowd control, I'd give them an F.
I'd give them an F for crowd control.
Now, have you ever been in the park when it's been at capacity?
Yes, I have.
Is that pretty much what it was like, or is it even worse?
No, it was pretty much like that. you know, in the morning, I mean, where you're shoulder to shoulder and you cannot move, that's exactly what capacity looks like.
Have you ever seen during Mickey's Very... I remember going to a Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party when they wanted people out of the parks. They had cast... And in all seriousness, I saw cast members joining arms, like, you know, they're walking together, but joining arms to keep places barricaded off. So they can do that. I don't know why they didn't do that night. I think that would have been a little bit more effective than the odd, you know, 120-pound cast member standing out there with a flashlight and somebody pushing them out of the way and not listening.
Right.
Because I've seen people abuse cast members, and I don't know that that would be that effective. But a group of cast members joining arms and separating something, that's effective.
Well, they have, you know, they have 10 years to figure it out. So let's hope they
do. They're going to have to. And I personally will be waiting in line for that cupcake about a month ahead of time.
Right, yeah. I think I'm going to get there like mid-September and just stay there.
I think it's ridiculous that you have to choose between, okay, do I want to get a spot
for the show,
or do I want to get exactly,
yeah,
or
do I want a cupcake? And that was exactly it. We chose to get, you know, to get in line for the show because, you know, we figured, you know, I wanted to take pictures for Pixie, for Mouse Chat, you know, and everything. I thought that was important. And I thought, well, they're not going to run out of merchandise like a T-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, or, I mean, the cupcake line can't be, you know, I think, Chris, you called it a Soviet-style bread line, which is a very appropriate, you know.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, surely this line will go down. It didn't go down.
And don't call me Shirley.
Yeah.
So. Sorry. That was
had to do it.
So it's just ridiculous. And I know the crowds are going to be worse for the 50th. And, you know, you can only fit so many people in that park.
Yeah.
That's
so
true.
You know, you've got, you know, some issues to work out.
Well, they need to make it like a week-long celebration for the 50th, or a month-long, like they do on all these other things.
Yeah.
Or do that's their main marketing push for 18 months is – celebrating the 50th.
But even if they do that, you know, October 1st, the official day.
Oh, yeah, it'll be a
madhouse. Something, yeah.
So. Hey, Bob, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm, sure.
For the 50th anniversary, will you be my special friend and go with me? I'm asking you 10 years early.
Yeah, well, I'd have to check with Donna. But, yeah, I think that'd be cool.
They can, you know,
it's a date.
Can come
yeah,
too.
It's a date. But okay. Here you go. But now, something Disney has done very, very well, to be fair, the renaming of the transportation and ticket center parking lot into the separation into villains and heroes, like we mentioned on the last podcast, works phenomenally well. You know, because you now have two sections, two tram cars pulling up, one for villains, one for heroes. You know, you don't have to go all the way around the parking lot if you're on one of the farther out lots. You know, so they move faster, they get back faster. It works really, really well. Very, very effective. Long overdue. Bravo, Disney. You did something right.
Yeah.
Wow, Bob.
I think my quick take on the 40th was that I figured they weren't doing much. I read before I got there that they weren't going to do much. I got there and they didn't do much, but I kind of wanted like some extra special Disney magic, like little surprises, you know, that you know, maybe they're going to give something away or they're going to do some little extra things in the park that they're not talking about in the back of my mind. And then none of that happened. And then I underestimated the crowds, and at, you know, an hour of that. And I was like, okay, let's get out of here.
You guys are so over it.
It was packed.
Well, I thought, when we were in line on the curb waiting for the events to start, I saw some cast members in the street doing a little bit of crowd control, and they had the pins on the lanyards. So I went up and I wanted to see what kind of lanyards, because you're trying to kill time. And I'm looking and they're just standing there. They're frozen. I'm like, you guys are like statues. And then I looked at the one and it ends up it's a guy that I went to high school with 20 years ago. And so I was like, oh my God. And he recognized me right off the bat, which was amazing. And so I was talking to him. I'm like, so what's the special things that we need to know about? What do I need to know? And he said, there's nothing to know. He told me go to Uptown Jewelers for the merchandise because Emporium is sold out. He said it's going to be a normal day with the exception of the fireworks. Come back for the fireworks. Those will be great. And so Disney didn't plan to do anything sensational. They didn't. I am surprised that they didn't do some sort of, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
Certain guests to do something something.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when a person reaches age 40, it's a big celebration, you know, 40 years. I mean, you make a big deal, you know, so.
Not in my house, apparently.
Okay, not moving on. We didn't expect crowds. Well, gosh, you know, you have what? Between 14 and 17 million people visit the Magic Kingdom every year. You didn't expect big crowds?
And, you know, I was thinking...
How long have you been doing this, Disney?
I was thinking about this. I think it would have been good, or it would have been smart anyway, for them to do the extra magic hours. And that way, the people that wanted to get in early, they would have to be in a Disney resort. They couldn't be local. They couldn't be at an off-property, off-site resort.
Other than the Hilton Downtown Disney.
Okay, thank you. And they would have to do that in order to get in. I don't know if they could necessarily get away with doing any kind of celebration before the official park opening, but it would sure make everyone else feel special that they were able to get the front row seats or whatever, you know, line the streets, sit on the curb. I don't know. I guess it's good that they kept it fair. I'm doing both sides.
But in certain things they didn't keep fair. I mean, i.e. merchandise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that was not fair. So yeah, I mean, you know, but I don't know. I mean, we got 10 years. So
we got 10 years and hopefully maybe they'll do a trial run for the 45th.
Right.
Well, that I don't, you know, 45, yay, but you really need to do the 10s.
Well, it's interesting. They did 10, 15, 25, you know, and so it's odd that they did 10 and 15. 25, 40th, sort of, and now I guess they'll do the 50th.
So what would you like to see for the 50th? I mean, we went over what you'd like to – that they should have done differently, but do you do something a whole lot different? Do you build another castle? What do you do?
Apparently you open Avatar Land at Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
I guess I'd have to think it through. Honestly, I could do without the speeches from Disney suits. You know, I don't need Meg Crofton, Phil Holmes, or anybody else. No offense to any Disney suit. I you're a blowhard, and I don't need to hear from you. You know. And I don't believe the words coming out of your mouth. You know, the focus, you know, if the focus is truly on, you know, your guests, you know, who make it special and the cast members who make it special, then I think a celebration needs to recognize the cast members and the guests, you know. And I think you need to have special fireworks for that night, not just perimeter fireworks. I think you need to have, you know, merchandise for that day and a lot of it. I don't know. I mean, I'd love to see them give away something, you know, a huge year long, you know, giveaway event, like, you know, giving away, you know, kind of like what they did with the Year of a Million Dreams, where they were giving away random prizes and there were a couple of big prizes like DVC.
I like that.
You know, that would be, you know, a couple of DVC prizes for the 50th, you know, that would be something pretty cool. Or a trip to every single Disney park. You know, as a prize. That would be awesome, you know, or you could even do a prize like that day.
I smell a letter to Disney.
Oh, yeah, it's probably going to happen.
It'll go in the file.
I have ideas, but you know, that's not going to happen. So we'll see what, you know, we'll see what they, you know, supposedly they're planning something epic and monumental, and I hope that's true, because 50 years is important.
It is.
And you know,
I thought 40
they,
was important.
Yeah, so did I, but,
apparently nobody else agreed.
Okay. Anything else we want to say about the 40th?
I wish I was there.
Yeah, we wished you were there, too. We had all the mouse chatters. Even Natalie was there, and we didn't have Lauren amidst all those cupcakes, too.
Yeah, that was rough. You sent me that picture.
At least we got a picture, so that's good. We have a picture.
Okay, so there's the 40th. And before we actually went to the 40th celebration, we did something for the first time, at least for us. We did Disney's 5K.
That was awesome, too.
Now, was that awesome?
It was. It was great. I think, first of all, I thought it was a great way to get out and get some exercise, get the whole family out. If you're a character fan, that is an amazing opportunity to see characters you don't always see. And plus, for someone like me who doesn't spend a lot of time in Animal Kingdom, it was amazing to just go through and see how beautiful that park is when it's just first thing in the morning, not a lot of people in there. I had so much fun. I loved it.
Okay, I'm immediately going to come out and pull a Bob.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You never have negativity. I'm shocked.
I'm just going to be like, we need to play like funeral music or something. The Volga Boatman.
Let me just speak my mind and we can go on. But as far as, you know, a great opportunity to see characters, yeah, there were some characters out along the path. But I think the only unique ones were the hyenas.
Yeah, they had the three hyenas, which was cool.
But then they had Baloo, they had Louie, King Louie, no one else really sticks out in my mind as being unique or, you know, rare.
You know, maybe I was just so annoyed with Steve taking so many pictures that I didn't notice all the characters, but it seemed to me that there were a lot of nice opportunities for people to take pictures.
There were. There were probably six opportunities for the character photos, and that was nice. And then you said something else about, you know, getting to appreciate the beauty of the Magic Kingdom to a certain extent.
Animal Kingdom.
Thank you. Animal Kingdom. To a certain extent, because they took us backstage for so much of it. I was not terribly appealing to the eye.
Oh, no, that was fun. I mean, I'm I know not every Disney fan feels this way, but I love getting a little glimpse of the backstage area. And when we saw the little animal areas where they stay at night and could get a little look into those a tiny bit, and we saw all the bicycles that the cast members have out for getting around the backstage area, that's fun to me. I know not every person enjoys that. It ruins the magic for them. It doesn't for me. I think it adds to it.
I do like that. I like seeing backstage. But, you know, when I was thinking about this run through the park, I was thinking we'd be going through the park and maybe just a little bit of a backstage area, and that we would get the opportunity to truly see the park in all its glory.
And when you do the wine and dine, when you do the half, Lisa, you actually get to do that. You get a nice portion of Animal Kingdom. It goes to Hollywood Studios, and you get to go through, you know, the park there, and you get to see the Osborne lights lit up, even though it's a month early. And, you know, you get to do that at Epcot as well. But I guess there's just not enough room, you know, to get a whole 3.2 miles in. You'd have to go backstage for some of that, so...
Or they could have circled the park or something. I don't know.
They could have. But then, you know, a lot of times people, especially because, you know, it seemed like there were groups, there were different types of people who were doing the run. There were definitely people like us who were like, this is our morning stroll. We got a stroller with us. We have a 6-year-old with us. We've got Steve. So we're not going to go very fast. But there were also people you could tell who had been doing, like, I don't know if you know about Couch to 5K, where people are just sort of learning to get into shape. And this is a big deal for them. So they were taking the run seriously. I know a lot of people who run don't like lapping. That seems to be a big issue for a lot of runners. So maybe that's why they don't do it.
Okay. I'll buy that.
And also, I think that running an Animal Kingdom can be a little difficult because the terrain is intentionally kind of bumpy. So it's probably nice for the people who are actually running to have that flat off backstage area.
Right. And you know what? Now that I think about it, before we even started, some people were halfway done. So
yeah, that is true.
You know, it probably wouldn't serve a very good purpose to have any kind of reroute. I think having that one single route and having the golf cart behind, mm-hmm. being able to sweep and make sure everyone's in front of them, that is kind of a good idea.
I think the benefit of the 5K too is just not sort of, you know, granted you get to see different things, you get to meet characters, but it's a very nice opportunity for families. And we saw a lot of families. There was a group right in front of us, and I know Natalie pointed them out, that had all ages, all abilities, and they even had like a little old grandma in a wheelchair that somebody was pushing. And I'm like, what a nice experience for the grandma to be out with her family, for the kids to see everybody being active. It was great.
Yeah. There were plenty of people with casts and, mm-hmm. you know.
You could just tell. I mean, it was all
pregnant
abilities.
Women? Yeah.
Yeah. It was like all abilities, and it was people who, you know, like I said, people who were really, you know, who had done this to get into shape, and people like us who were just like, hey, this is fun. Where's breakfast? You know, so that was great.
I just wish we could have passed up Granny because that was kind of, you know, depressing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tried.
Yeah. It's just too good.
It was great, though. And I also think for me, and, you know, I know that I was all like Pollyanna on the 40th. That's part of the reason, though, is because after the 5K just made my day. It was like it set everything in motion. I thought it was pretty easy to get in. You know, you could find where you needed to be. It was very well organized for the most part when you consider how many people were there.
Well, Chris, so. You pointed out that even registration, or I should say packet pickup, that you found to be so much easier this year than in years past.
Right. And I talked to one of the ladies when I picked up my packet, and I asked her, I said, this is nothing like last year, because last year the packet pickup for the Wine and Dine half and for the 5K was a disaster. And this year it was very smooth. I mean, we picked up our packets very quickly, and instead of it being super crowded like it was last year, there was like all, as you saw when you came in, there was all that space, and we found like a little corner, and we were doing work while we waited on you and Steve and your kids to show up. And it was great. You know, it was much better organized. The only thing I would say is that, the one nice thing we found out is that if you have a photo ID, you can pick up packets for your group. And I suggest that because it still takes time. It's a big, long walk to the back building there. So if you can do it that way, be more organized.
So does this mean that you're going to be, you know, running more races, Chris?
No, because I hate to run. And I think I sort of decided that the 5Ks were excellent. Like I think I might do the princess five, the, that weekend I might do that with my oldest child, but I'm definitely not going to. I don't think I want to do a 13 miles is really long, and I'm a terrible runner. I didn't want to run the few times we were running. Like a couple times, Lisa would take off running, and I'd be back there with Steve, and I'd be like, "No, let's not do this." And Steve would mock me, and I'd have to run. So,
you know, I have to tell you,
I lost the voice. I'm sorry.
You what?
The voice you just made that really...
You know, that's my real voice that I use when I'm not on the podcast. Come on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
My husband has actually decided to run the actual marathon in January.
That is so great.
Wow.
So we're going in January.
Who wants to run 26 miles? That's insane.
I'm going to be cheering him on from the side.
Yeah, bring a lawn chair. That's going to be a long time.
I know.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, some of these guys.
Well, he
and
runs
gals,
like
who,
10
yeah.
minutes, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys and gals who run these you know marathon races. I talked to a couple who were doing the half marathon that you know on Saturday night, and they said you know people will run 13 miles in like an hour and a half easy. You know, and can you know complete a whole marathon in. You know, a couple of hours, 3 hours.
What's wrong with those people?
Yeah.
Those people are insane. Do it. You know, I wish I could make myself want to run. I just don't want to do it anymore. Unless someone's chasing me or there's food, something worth chasing after, forget it.
I don't know, maybe. What if they offered you one of those, you know, 40th anniversary cupcakes if you ran like 13 miles? You know?
Could I just drive my car 13 miles?
Well, that's why we had to finish so fast so we could drive over to Magic Kingdom. So we were like going, it started at 7 a.m. and we're like, all right, they open at 9 at Magic Kingdom.
Steve,
and we got to get through this.
Didn't you enjoy it though?
It was nice.
You just enjoyed insulting me because you're kind of mean to me.
It was the first time I did it. So it's nice to know the whole process. And it's really easy to get to Animal Kingdom. You park your car. They have a DJ there getting everybody warmed up.
Yeah, it was
extreme.
Loud, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's very loud. So if you're trying to find another party, you can't call them on the cell phone because you can't hear each other. So you're,
yeah, thank goodness for texting.
You have to text each other. Also, which I didn't know, is you can pick up your packet late if you go that morning. So between,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, 5:45 to 6 a.m., in the butterfly parking lot over at Animal Kingdom, which is where everybody is. You just bring your photo ID, and then you don't have to go on Friday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So they have a pickup right there, and there was nobody waiting to pick them up. So, but live and learn on that. So
No, I was just going to say, I mean, kudos to you guys for doing it. And, I mean, you got great weather.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was nice. Amazing.
And lots of people dressed up. We were behind Batman, like the full done, full fledged Batman, completely head to toe, rubber outfit.
He was at Not So Scary Halloween the night before.
And he did 3.2 miles in that costume.
Well, and there were tons of kids, and you know, just you know, since they don't time the 5Ks at all, that's great.
Well, they have the clocks going, and
but they don't time you as
right.
You know, you're under 16, over 60 minutes. Get out. Car.
Right. But it was interesting that being at the back of the pack, we actually got started at 5 minutes into the race. That's when we passed the start line, and they announced right around that time that the leaders had just passed mile one, so they were booking, and I mean they were probably done in 20 minutes and we had barely started.
I think you made good time overall. I mean, considering
we did about 45 minutes for the 3.2 miles.
And you know, my hat's off to anyone who can run you know, a 5K, a 13, you know, mile half marathon, a full marathon. And then you have those people that do, you know, both the half and the full, you know, in January. And you know, you guys amaze me because I like you, Chris, I can't get into running. I've tried. I never got that runner's high.
You know, I actually was running quite a bit last year, but I got an injury. And I think for me, I don't want to do it anymore because I'm lazy and I don't want to get hurt again.
What happened?
I have this, it's called an IT band, and I can't, Bob's wife knows exactly what it is. It's like this thing that gets irritated when a lot of runners have it, and it just every time I start running it just starts up again, and I know that I could stretch and probably, you know, do things to help it, but I'm too lazy.
Yeah, but for everyone who's new and wants to do and give it a try, the 5K is a good way to
it is
get into it.
And I think the Couch to 5K is sort of a really good program. I know a lot of people do that, and you know, and to sort of reward yourself with a fun run like this, when you get to the point where you can actually run those 3 miles, is kind of a great idea. And I think, I don't know, I think it was really fun. I definitely will do another one.
And then you can get a cupcake when you're done.
You get up early, you're up at like 5:30, you do the run, and then you're all hyped and ready to go. But then to make a full day of it out of the park is a little tough, especially with kids.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Like, I wondered if you guys started to kind of poop out at some point. Because
like Amber was before lunch. She was, like, pretty much done.
Yeah. I thought that your kids held up really well, by the way, considering.
Yeah, so that was a little tough. And I didn't even think about that. It's hard to do a full day getting up that early and running 3 miles.
That's going to wrap it up for this show. Thank you to pixievacations.com for sponsoring us. You can download our shows at mousechat.net, and you can get us at iTunes as well. Please send your comments or your questions or your complaints. send those to Bob.
No complaints.
You can send those to comments at mousechat.net. Join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.